Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And I love getting started with you early on a Sunday morning, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Our friends from Rocket Mortgage will be with you every step of the way, providing a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome aboard the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. And welcome aboard the fact that we now begin our countdown towards the NFL season. I cannot wait. Around an hour from now, I will unveil my first 10 out. And it's something that we do every year in the show. And it carried over from the old network, and it carries over to this one. The idea that, okay, if you want to start talking about an NFL season, let's start with the teams that we probably won't talk about much during the season. Let's talk about the bad ones. So I came up with it. I always try to balance it out that my first five are in each conference, which makes the first 10. So I try to find the five worst AFC teams, the five worst NFC teams. And when I say worst, it doesn't necessarily mean record-wise. It just means I know these teams will not be playing in January. I know they're not going to be the playoff teams. So I very much look forward to sharing this today, coming up a little bit and around an hour from now. If you're on the East Coast, it's 7 o'clock, so Eastern time. And I welcome you to play along in the game with me. I publish them every year. I give you that opportunity to be able to see what I picked. I had a gentleman say to me the other day, you didn't put your over-unders for the season. And I said, I thought I did. So I'm going to have to go back and look. He says, I didn't see your over-unders. So I'm going to have to check out and make sure that I did that. But that's where we will start around an hour from now. So hopefully you will be around for that. And I hope you play along, too. I hope you share yours on at CBS Sports Radio, at John Kincaid, K-I-N-C-A-D-E. And you give us your thoughts. It's an easy sort of way to start the analysis of the season. We know that 12 teams are going to make the postseason. So instead, go to the 32 teams in the NFL and tell me the 10 worst. You think it's easy. It's not as easy as you think. And quite a few years, a team that ends up in the bottom 10 ends up making the postseason. I had it happen to me with the Rams two seasons ago. And I had it happen to me. I put the Rams in my first 10 out. The Rams ended up winning their division. Not only did they make the postseason, they won their division. They didn't even sneak in as a wild card. Now, they lost to the Falcons that year in the postseason. They didn't win a playoff game. But the fact that I had them in my 10 worst teams, absolutely out of the playoffs, and they won the division, it can happen. It can happen to you, too. We approach trade deadline week in Major League Baseball. And I want to find all of the exciting great things about this Major League Baseball season to get compelled with. But I'll get compelled by this. Major League Baseball's changed the way that they go about their business. They no longer will allow you to make trades. There used to be that fake trade deadline. July 31st became this date where, yeah, it's the trade deadline, but if you want to make another trade, you can try to pass players through waivers, contracts that nobody wants, get them through waivers, and then you can agree to a trade and work that out up until August 31st. And then that player can be a part of your postseason roster. Not so fast. No longer. That's completely changed. So now you have to make a deal by this Wednesday. And this Wednesday afternoon, you've got to be able to make a deal. And right now I'm trying to find all the reasons to be compelled. Yankees with an 8-game lead. Yeah, they lost 3 to the Red Sox. Am I supposed to believe that the Red Sox are back to win that division? No, not at all. Not at all. Red Sox for a postseason berth? Maybe. Red Sox to catch the Yankees down 8? No. I'm not buying into that. Am I supposed to be compelled by the Houston Astros with an 8-game lead in their division? The Braves with a 6.5-game lead in their division. The Dodgers with a 15.5-game lead in their division. Well, we can always count on the Central divisions, I guess. Minnesota edging out Cleveland right now And the Cardinals, surprisingly, ahead of the Cubs and the Brewers, and that's a great three-team race there. By the way, if you were one of those people who was on Twitter clamoring, saying your team had to go get Craig Kimbrell, I dealt with this in Atlanta. I saw a lot of this in Atlanta. Oh, yeah, got to get Craig Kimbrell. Can't believe that the Braves, they were people are like, the Braves didn't go out and get Craig Kimbrell. It's terrible. Should have get whatever Kimbrell wanted. Just back up the Brinks truck for him. Sometimes people think they know stuff, and they don't get it. By the way, Craig Kimbrell, who everybody I heard it here in Atlanta over and over again. Got to get Kimbrell. He's got almost a 7 ERA. Almost a 7 ERA. Already with a couple blown saves. Already not even a 2-1 strikeout to walk ratio. And he's already given up 4 bombs, 8 earned runs, a 6.75 ERA. Again, you talk about people we think we know. We think at this trade deadline we know. We think we know what our favorite team needs. But right now I'm looking at who's the buyers. Who are the teams that are out there that are saying, you know what? I can win a World Series this year. Yankee fans, gotta believe it. Astro fans, gotta believe it. Dodger fans, gotta believe it. Braves fans, now, have to start to believe it. They've got to start to believe that they could do something special like that. Bye, bye, bye. I don't know about everybody else. If you're a Cardinals fan, if you're a Cubs fan or a Brewers fan, are you saying, you know what? I know we've been mediocre this year, but you know, if we just go out and make this trade, make this move, it's going to push us over the top and we're going to have a chance to win. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it for a lot of these clubs. I've watched the Braves see their lead in the National League East pare down this week. Then the Nationals go up against the Dodgers, and we find out that the Nationals were doing a great job of beating up on bad teams to get back in the wild card race. But when they faced a legitimate club, they can't win. And the Phillies, the embarrassing show they've put on against the Braves in the last 2 days, is truly embarrassing. And if you could check for me, Shep, and see if they've fired Gabe Kapler yet. I'm not sure if they have, but I'm going to have to probably watch Gabe Kapler the rest of the year. But I'll just, go on out there, maybe a few more reps on the bench press. Yeah, he's still there.
It's because of those awful all-maroon uniforms yesterday.
Well, you know what's funny is that's the Saturday Night Specials that they wore once. They wore them 40 years ago. They wore those uniforms once.
And I heard the players hated them.
No, they're terrible. They're like... Well, first of all, they look like pajamas, right? They look like a old style pajamas or something. Now, a few of the players had fun with them last night. They had fun until the game started and they gave up 15 runs.
And the Braves were in those awful 80s uniforms.
See, I didn't mind that at all. I didn't mind the Braves uniforms at all. You didn't like those?
No, I don't like those.
Are you not a fan of the throwback stuff, or are you?
I love throwback.
So you do.
Good throwbacks.
You do love throwback. Do you throw up when you're thinking of what the Mets are doing?
Why would I throw up? We've won 3 in a row.
Oh, okay.
Here we come, baby.
Do you think that means something? Okay. Exactly. You think that means
finish up with the Pirates today? Then we got 3 against the White Sox, 3 more against the lousy Pirates,
so you think
4
you're crawling
against the Marlins.
You think you're crawling right back in this thing?
We're coming.
Yeah. You want Syndergaard to leave?
No.
I didn't figure you would.
There's too many options right now on the pitcher market, so I don't believe that the Mets could get as much if they wait until the offseason to pull a move.
You got Syndergaard with 2 more years of control.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
And I love his stuff. I know he hasn't been good
this
year.
You love his stuff. He has not been good, though.
No, he has not been good this year.
I think it's very clear that he wants out. It's very clear that he wants to go. That he wants to go someplace else. He doesn't want to be with a loser. He showed you that right at the end of spring training. He thinks he doesn't buy into the franchise's vision. DeGrom buys in. He doesn't buy in. He wants to pitch. It'll be a shame if you don't let him pitch in meaningful games, if you can't get something for him. But I agree with you. I think he could get more in the offseason, knowing that somebody has 2 years with him. Maybe they give him 2 more years, like,
Plus, there's too many other options. There's a lot of pitchers that are available.
But what I heard that the Mets are considering dealing Syndergaard and then trying to acquire Marcus Stroman, that's a net loss. That's a net loss if the Mets decide that's the way to go. But I wouldn't be shocked because they are the Mets. So we're counting on them to continue to be the Mets. Hope nobody's throwing any chairs. There's the Mets. Beat the Mets. We sing Beat the Mets on my show in Atlanta every time the Braves beat the Mets. So we've been singing it for 19 seasons now. We sing it a lot. You easily sing it a lot. Usually the tomahawk just makes the Mets sort of urinate on themselves. There you go. Here we go. Now, I'm not into the, hey, that's cultural appropriation. Because every time I meet an American Indian, they tell me how offended they... No, I don't. In fact, they don't. As we get ready for, 5 weeks now? Anthony's got 5 weeks till he will do an edition of the Fallout, or 4 weeks. I mean, it's 5 weeks away. He'll do an edition of the Fallout for us here on the show. So he gets back to work on Sundays. It's very extensive work. He does a masterful job with it. But there is one question I've got for you. Why is it that everyone has complained for years that college football is not competitive? I mean, excuse me, that the NBA is not competitive. That you know going into the year that there's a couple really good teams that have a chance to win and nobody else has a shot. And everybody finds it this big issue with the NBA. Now, obviously, it's looking different now as a lot of the stars have moved and have shifted around. But how come that same argument, that same problem, doesn't seem to bother anybody when it comes to college football, America's second most popular sport? And again, if you need the numbers, I'll show you why it's preposterous if you're trying to tell me that the NBA is the second most popular sport. It is college football in the country. Why is it not a problem in college football that right now, if I gave you Clemson and Alabama, or you could have the field to win the national championship, I'm going to bet my money for you. Why is it not a problem that so few teams actually have any kind of shot to be national champions? A gentleman tried to tell me the other day, he goes, I really think Michigan can win this year. I really think Michigan's got it. I said, okay, well, I've heard from you three of the last four years. You've been telling me that Michigan's, this is the year. And I said, okay, so you believe Michigan in a 2 week period can beat Clemson and Alabama in the same year? No, I'm not buying it either. Or you believe that Michigan could beat Clemson and Georgia in a 2 week period back to back? There is nothing that should give you that belief. Zero that should give you that belief. But for some reason, people want to believe it. I don't understand it because everybody rips the NBA for it, but we're getting ready for a college football season, and year after year, there's two or three teams that have a chance to win national title, period.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi, I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.